Hey, everybody, this is Dan Binkin with the UNI Family Business Programming, and I've got John Sargent with me today. We're live from Ames, Iowa. We're going to be talking a little bit about next generation development. We're going to be talking about the types of things that you as families might want to keep in mind as you're looking to succession from one generation to the next. John, why don't we start out by maybe having you talk a little bit about what does Todd and Sargent do, and maybe you could describe a little bit about the evolution of your firm over time.
Yeah, very good. Thanks, Dan. Glad to have you here in Ames. Todd and Sargent was started by my grandfather and his business partner back in 1958. And we're a design, build, engineering, and construction company based here in Ames. We serve the industrial ag world. We design and build feed mills, flour mills, pet food plants, other kind of specialty industrial ag facilities, large concrete grain storage, all kinds of exciting things. So based in Ames here with about 60 office employees, and we do work across the U.S. and Canada. We've got about 300 employees out in the field that are all supported by our staff right here.
Wow. Okay. So when I think of like ethanol plants and things like that, are you guys involved in those types of things too?
So back when ethanol was really
back
booming,
in the day,
So we would have been involved more on the grain storage side for the ethanol plants.
Okay.
But biodiesel, we have built a bunch of biodiesel plants from the ground up over the last, 20 years or so, but have kind of moved into some other markets now that that market isn't quite as hot as it was.
Sure. So your grandfather started the firm with a partner.
Yep, Warren Sargent and George Todd are two namesakes.
All right. And so the transition from Warren and Mr. Todd, how did that, you know, kind of who came in after them?
Yeah, so in 1958, company started. George Todd was kind of toward the end of his career, and my grandpa Warren was closer to the beginning of his in the industry. George had a good established business on his own, but was looking for a partner to join forces with. So George was out of the business in a handful of years, and that family has been out of the business since really the early 60s.
Okay.
Although we always kept the name out of deference to George Todd and the contributions that he made over the years, mm-hmm. and as a founder to the company. We're proud to have that connection. And my grandpa really kind of took things on with a strong leadership team over the next, call it 20-some years, and in the early 80s, my dad and uncle really kind of took over from a management perspective. And
okay.
So since the early 80s through, you know, really today or the last handful of years, they've, along again with a really strong leadership team, have been running our business. I guess just to jump right in, my uncle, he has really worked with our company since he was, 12, 14, what have you, and I think in a very direct sense, since he was in college, maybe even high school, and so he never went about and went out to find that other career, even just for a short period. But my dad did.
Oh, he did. Okay.
And I did, and that worked pretty well for. I think the path that each of us took worked well for us. We didn't have any sort of formal policy, so, you know, some families will have that, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. For me, the opportunity to go out, see a little bit else in the world made a lot of sense for me, get a little bit different perspective, broader perspective, I think can be really healthy, but it all depends on the person, right? If you've got somebody that that's ready to dive right in, great for them, right?
So when you took off on your path, kind of as you described it, did you leave, and I know you went to school in Iowa City, did you leave here, headed there, so I'm in cyclone country and you're headed to the dark side, so to speak, did you know that this was an option for you, were you setting yourself up with your career to think, I want to come back and work with my father and my uncle, et cetera, or, you know, did you have your sights set on other types of career paths? Can you kind of talk through that a little bit?
Yeah, so I grew up in Ames, graduated in 2001 from Ames High, made my way to Iowa City, which was kind of important for me to get out a little bit. Grew up in Ames, had most of my high school graduating class, went to Iowa State. Great school, great for those people. I kind of needed to get away a little bit. We grew up about two blocks from campus, and you know, my parents went to Iowa State, all their friends went to Iowa State, and like I say, great school, great place to be, and I love being back in Ames now, but for that period of my life, wanted to get out a little bit, kind of see what else the world had to offer. Luckily, my oldest sister graduated from the University of Iowa a few years before I attended, so she blazed that trail. It made it a little easier for me to head out east, but from there, moved to Chicago, spent about 5 years in Chicago, was in the finance world, and was probably not as directly focused on making sure that each step of my path through high school and college and beyond was pointing me back toward the company, but was definitely focused on things that would give me a pretty good business sense. So
was it in the back of your mind that you would, you know, come back to Ames? I mean,
there was always a kind of
living in Chicago, and
yeah, always that question there, right? Hey, you know, family business, kind of a pretty cool opportunity. What would that look like? And you know, that ties into something that I know you and I have talked about before, which is this idea of as a parent or as a, you know, a CEO or a president with kids who are maybe of the age where they could start thinking about the business, how do you broach that topic? And it can be challenging, because I think what you find a lot of times is if you're that father or mother in the president's role, you don't necessarily want your kids to feel like there's an obligation for them to be involved in the business.
Right.
You don't want, you know, it's kind of like the dad that was a baseball player. It usually takes either one of two paths, right? It's all baseball all the time, trying to make sure that kid's going to, you know, be the ball player, the, you know, starting pitcher for the Yankees or what have you.
Yeah.
Or the other path is, gosh, you don't want them to feel pressured. You know what that can be like. And so you just almost go radio silent and don't address it. I think the ideal, the healthiest way is somewhere kind of in the middle, right?
Sure.
What I had found in our situation is, I think my you know, my dad didn't want me to feel pressured, and probably same with my sisters.
Yeah.
And so it isn't a topic that had come up a lot. But when it was reaching that point where, hey, we're needing to make a decision about the future of the company, we kind of sat down and had that conversation, and I think it was good for him, it was good for me, and I'd like to think good for the business now that we kind of sorted through all that. So I guess what I'd say is, if you're in that role as the parent or the president, don't be afraid to have that conversation. You know, maybe you need to wait until the right time, until the right age, but don't be afraid to have that that conversation and talk through what the opportunities might be or may not be if they aren't there. And as the kid, you know, having been in my situation, don't be afraid to ask those questions. I think there's a lot of things in families that people are just kind of afraid to ask because it's awkward or they don't know what the answer will be. And so you kind of make up these assumptions in your mind.
Right.
Better to ask the question, have the conversation, and gosh, then you're off to a pretty good start in terms of having good, open, honest conversations between you and
sure.
your parents, especially in a business context.
Absolutely.
What I've seen in a lot of successful family businesses is when both generations, the older and the, you know, the outgoing and the incoming, are very intentional about that transition process.
Yep.
Some kids who would be coming up as that next generation were involved in their businesses from the very beginning, you know,
sure.
sweeping
pushing
floors as a
yep.
kid, you know, just sorting mail in the mailroom, that kind of thing. That's kind of a cool way to get to know the business from the ground up. Not all families go that route.
Right.
I think there's certainly a lot of value to that. But I think there's also, you know, parents want there to maybe sometimes be a separation between
yeah.
family and business, and
right.
don't want the kid to feel like they've got to be part of that business from, you know, the day they were born. But people who are very intentional about that transition process, and if you can spend time in each of the key functional areas of the business, I think that can go a really long way. One, to help build up that knowledge base
yep.
for you within the company to know how things work, you know, not just top down, but kind of bottom up. And also, I think helps employees see that, you know, that person throughout the company and can really understand how they're investing their time and energy into getting to know the business from the ground up, which I think is a really positive thing.
Yeah, I think the employee engagement with the next generation goes up significantly if they feel like they're shoulder to shoulder with those people at times, that kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, if you're, I think one of the questions was about current CEO and what are some things to for them to think about. And one that I'll say, and I may not be super popular for saying this, but I've seen this in a lot of different businesses, and it's actually worked very well in ours, but it doesn't always work that well in other companies that I've seen. If you're that president, that CEO, that outgoing generation, and you're seeing your family come in, the next generation, it's great for you to be there and provide support and be a sounding board. But at the point at which you turn over control, I think it's really important that you be ready and willing to let go. Where I've seen some really difficult situations, not only for the business, but also with personal relationships between whether it's fathers and sons, you know, mothers and daughters, et cetera, is when the generation two is put in quote unquote control, and yet there they are and don't feel empowered to make the decisions that they think they need to make. And then kind of nobody's happy. Right.
Right.
So what I'd say is if you're going to put that individual, your child or nephew or niece, whoever, in that role, if you're putting them in that role, make sure you trust them if you're going to put them in there. But once you put them in there, make sure you're empowering them to start making the decisions that are their decisions. Great that you're there as a resource, and to provide feedback and input and kind of checkpoints along the way. But if you're putting them in that role, hopefully you're putting them in there for a reason and for the right reason. And at some point, you got to make sure that you're willing to kind of let them run with things. Otherwise, it can be really difficult for everybody involved.
So I think that's great advice. Perfect.
That's one thing. A lot of people have asked me over the years, and more when I was just starting at the company, if I felt like there was an obligation to be involved because it's a family business and I'd be the third generation.
Yeah, let's talk about the big O word there. Yeah.
So for me, I guess it's different for everybody, right? For me, I almost kind of chuckled when I heard that, you know, that word obligation, because to me it was never about an obligation. It was about this really cool privilege to be able to, one, come and work at a really great company that I thought very highly of, and a privilege to hopefully help continue and extend a legacy from a lot of people before me, but especially my dad, my uncle, my grandpa.
So you kind of feel that legacy piece with inside you, and you know what the culture and everything is that they built, and
exactly. You've seen what now two generations of people before you have done, and both my family members, but also a much broader array of employees from over, gosh, you know, the last 61 years. And pretty cool to think that now I, along with a great leadership team, along with a great employee base, have the ability to keep that going on the shoulders of these great, other great people that have come before us.
Yep. Oh, that's cool.
So what I'd say is if it feels like an obligation, you got to figure that out, because that can stay with you really for decades if you don't ever sort through some of those things and figure out the right mindset going in.
Sure.
The other thing I'd say is, and this applies really to any business, not just a family business, but if you're not having fun, you're doing it wrong. And so I think it's easy to get, look, I get it. Not every day is going to be great, walk in the park, rosy at the office, but I've seen too many times where people kind of let things within the family business kind of the problem is it doesn't just ruin then, you know, your work life, it can ruin your personal life too. And so that can be really challenging. So if you're not having fun, you got to figure out how to get there. Otherwise you're doing yourself a disservice, and you're doing your family a disservice, and you're doing the company a disservice.
Yep.
So I don't know that I have the magic bullet as to how to convince somebody to figure out how to have fun in their role. But I do think it's one of those critical things that it's just not going to work if you're not having fun at the job.
So if I think about your career before you got here, and how long have you been here now, John?
Coming up on 9 years.
Okay. And so before that, you were in the finance industry where things are fairly intangible compared to the big cement skyscrapers you're building now.
Yeah.
How did you know that I could get interested in this industry, I could have passion for this industry, it would be fun for me, when I would say you were in a fairly completely different industry before, and I'm guessing you were in a very urban environment, looking at skyscrapers out your window all over the place. How do you think you started to kind of coach yourself in that way?
Yeah, fair question, and a good one. So I love construction. I love ag. It's such a part of, especially agriculture, a part of what Iowa is all about. But I would say, even if I didn't necessarily love those two things, for me, the fact that this was a legacy from my grandfather on down, it probably could have been in any industry, right? And,
mm-hmm.
and I still would have found that passion.
Okay.
You know, it certainly helps when all of those things align. I think as long as it's an industry that, you know, is something to be proud of, and I think both construction and ag are certainly certainly fall within that category. Gosh, I felt like, given just how much pride there was, not even necessarily just within our family toward the business, but generations of employees who, gosh, 30, 40, 50 years of their lives they dedicated to our company and mm-hmm. to our clients. Gosh, if you can't get excited about that, you know, what can you get excited about? So yeah, to me, yes, I love the industries that we serve. But the fact that there was just so much history within the company and then, of course, our family involved with it is what really kind of sealed the deal for me and got me excited about that.
So, John, one question we have, we get repeatedly is kind of when we're working with family-owned companies, sometimes they'll say, well, I wish I had done this, or I wish I had known that, or hadn't done this, et cetera. Has there ever been a time like that for you where you thought about, you know, if you could talk to your younger self, some advice you might give yourself, knowing the path that you've been on now to get to where you are now?
I would encourage anybody to go and spend some time outside the business and get a little bit broader perspective on the world, a broader context to where your business fits in the world, see how some different people do things. Great if it's in a similar industry where that experience can translate directly. But the ability to kind of go out there and see how your business fits in the world and how some other people do similar types of business, I think can be really helpful for you to see then, even years down the road.
Sure. So you're very glad that you chose the path you did then, obviously, right?
That worked well for me. Again, maybe not for everybody, but I think for me that was absolutely the right decision.
Great. I think it's cool that we're sitting here doing this podcast, you know, in your main boardroom here, and we've got photos of your family on the wall here, right? Very strong legacy type of thing. And I'm just kind of curious, you know, how if when your grandfather kind of started this firm with his partner, I wonder if he ever envisioned this becoming a, you know, a longevity family-owned company where his grandson would eventually get involved. I don't know. Do you think he'd have any thoughts about that?
Well, when you look at the statistics on any business, you know, let alone family businesses, the percentage that make it to that second generation or third generation dwindled pretty quickly. I don't know if he would have thought this far in advance to kind of think through that. He was probably focused on just doing the best that he could for his customers and employees. But yeah, maybe in the back of his mind, he kind of wondered where things would go. When my dad and uncle took over, I think he was pretty proud to see them in their roles. You know what? I think when he passed away, I was still in Chicago. And so this wasn't something that was me coming back to the business wasn't something that was kind of out there on the table quite at that moment. But I guess I'd like to think that he'd be looking down kind of excited to see that 61 years later, after he kind of made this leap to start a business, that Here we are this many years later, and not just me, but 300 plus employees.
Right, who flourishing. Are, yeah. Absolutely. I think that's
The last thing probably that I would say is a little bit of an off base comment, but preserve your family history and your company history for those of you that are involved in a family business. It's easy for some of those, whether it's stories, kind of that oral history, or even photos or kind of those memento scrapbook type things. It's easy for those to get lost to history. We're working right now on our family side of putting together a pretty in-depth family history from my great grandparents down, from Warren's parents on down. Warren was one of seven brothers and sisters raised on the east side of Des Moines. Pretty rich family history down on the east side of Des Moines, and now across Iowa and really across the world as family members have moved and scattered across the globe.
Sure.
But gosh, a lot of stories out there that if you don't make a point to capture them, they're just kind of lost. And they're stories that can be really inspiring to a lot of, whether it's employees or family members.
So yeah, the next generation, right?
Exactly. To help people understand where they came from, what has been important to, whether it's the business or the family, for decades. So we're working with a historian right now based in Des Moines to help us put together that so we don't lose those stories.
Cool.
And those memories.
Great. Thanks, John. This has been great. I just want to say thanks for allowing us to come in today, for being so willing to be open, sharing about your experiences. I think for family businesses, this peer-to-peer approach of learning is very powerful. And so we just want to say thanks again for being involved, for being willing to share, talk through some things, and we'll catch everybody next time. Thanks for listening. Take care.